So whatever it is a father's responsibility to lead his son to Krishna, and it's the king's responsibility to take his subjects to Krishna. It's the guru's responsibility to take his disciples to Krishna. Whoever is the head in society, they should learn from Lord Brahma. It's his responsibility that he should take his dependents to Krishna. Our parampara is a very special parampara. It is a very good, this Vedic parampara. Wherever you go, you see in the temples, the person, he likes to take his whole family. Big or small, he takes the whole family to the temple. But in so many other religions, I have seen alone. Alone, they are reading the scriptures in the mosques, I have seen. Women, they are only like, they are like machines to do service. We should try to recognize our Sanskriti, our culture. One Indian gentleman said, here, when I came to America, I realized the importance of the Vedic culture. Had I remained in India, I may not have understood. This can be also a fact. Living here in America, we can understand our Vedic culture. This is good. When a person is living very close, he does not appreciate. When we go far away, we may appreciate that this Vedic culture is so magnanimous. Their feelings are so magnanimous that I have seen in Vrindavan, in Braj. The mother is taking the baby in her arm and on her waist, and she is doing parikrama. And I've seen here and in India, if someone wants to give some donation to one sadhu mahatma, they often give it to their child to give it to the saintly person. They try to teach their children this culture. This is religion. This Vedic culture has come since a long time, since time immemorial. Therefore, we should try to protect this Vedic culture. And anyway, we know that whenever the Lord comes to this earth, everything becomes all right. Or if some great personality that like Prabhupada comes, and everything becomes all right. But it is also our responsibility to protect it. There is one Rabindranath Tagore. He has written in Bengali one poem. You have heard the name of Rabindranath Tagore. He has been a great poet. He won a Nobel Prize. He wrote a poem, very beautiful poem. He has written a poem that sun is about to set. He is just now setting. It's about to go down over the ocean. So the sun is asking a question: who will take over when I am gone? Who will give light? Actually, the sun doesn't become dark. It just goes to another place. So a very small lamp, like a candle lamp, he came forward and he says, Swami, I will give light. So the sun god said, how much light can you give? You're just a little lamp, how much light can you give? So this little lamp says, I cannot give as much light as you, but until you come back next morning, I can dispel the darkness in one room. I can light up one room. So the sun god, he became very pleased. He said, okay, so according to your strength, you keep dispelling some darkness and I will return. So from this we can understand, we can get some encouragement that we're not the sun god, but at least in our own home we can give enlightenment. How much ever strength we have, we can give light to our own family, our community, our own life, we can give light. And keep doing that on a personal, family, community, national level. And we can keep on doing that till the sun comes up again in the form of Lord Krishna in his own presence, or somebody like Srila Prabhupada. This way we should become very magnanimous and very very generous. In this magnanimous and generous way, we should distribute this bhakti. We should share it with others. We should all become like a little lamp and dispel the darkness in our own homes. We should dare to do that much. We should have that much. We should be that much brave to do that. To be like a little lamp. Lamp dare to do so much. And he pleased the sun god. So in this way we should be very generous and we should distribute this light of bhakti. It's like I'm speaking on Bhagavatam. So whatever I have heard or read from the spiritual masters and the scriptures, I'm speaking. But this is everyone's religious duty. Everyone's, all of you's, yours responsibility that whatever you read and hear, you should distribute this. As long as we have life in our body, and as long as we have the strength, we should spread these auspicious thoughts that we have heard and learned. No inauspiciousness should be spread. No one should be able to say that this person eats meat or he drinks or he does anything sinful. Why should we do anything like that? Every person's life and his behavior speaks actually. His son will be seeing, his wife will be seeing. If a child sees that his father drinks, then what effect will it have on his life? If the child sees that my father is doing something wrong, then we will never be able to correct our child. Even if we want to correct him, we will not be able to. So, we have to keep our own life effulgent. And the only way to do this is to come again and again in the association of the Lord. You see here how Lord Brahma, he could have called Krishna from his office, but he went to see Krishna with all the associates. You all know what the atmosphere is like in the office and what the atmosphere is like in the temple. Coming to the, when you're in the temple, what the condition is of your heart and what the condition is of your heart when you go to your home or your office. The atmosphere there is different. Everyone has experience of this. We cannot do bhajan there. We do different things there, we do talk different things there. We want to run our families, we want to run our business. Sometimes we have anxieties, sometimes we get angry. So to keep our hearts in our minds in the Lord, we have to give up certain place, like a place of home and work, for a little while every day. If 24 hours you cannot give up these places of work and home, at least half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours in the day, we can give up these places and come to the temple of the Lord's Dham. All of you must have experienced the shanti, the peace that you get just for coming and sitting in the temple. You cannot get that anywhere else. Because the Lord is personally present there. Radha, Neela, Madhav are there. There is bhajan, kirtan, etc. there every day for a long time. So the atmosphere is there is different. We should learn from Lord Brahma that he didn't do bhajan at this office. He went to the shore of the ocean of milk, to Kshir Samudra. Lord is there. It's a different atmosphere there. And it happened there. He was in Samadhi. When he started chanting the Purusha Sukta prayers, he became in Samadhi. He never got this Samadhi in his office. In his office, he is so busy doing this, managing this, doing that, this telephone call, etc. Although it is the duty of the humans to learn to do bhajan wherever he is, when you want to do some special offering, some special prayers, then one should go to the temple. Although Hari Sarvatra Sarvada, Hari is always everywhere. One should do bhajan everywhere, Sarvatra. Because there is no saying when this body will fall dead. We should remember Krishna always. This is the dharma. This is our dharma. But temple is made. This is completely scientific. As soon as you come to take darshan of the Lord, we become so happy. We get to offer obeisances. Can you offer obeisances in your office while you're working? I ask this question to all of you. At the most you can do is bend your head down a little bit to the picture on your altar in your office. In the temple, there is no hesitation to give full dandavats in the temple on the floor. Nobody has to tell them. Person just lies down. It happens immediately because that's the atmosphere. Everyone does it there. This is the effect of the place of the Lord. Come, let's go to the shore of the milk of ocean. This is text 20. Everybody offered prayers. What prayers did they offer? They offered Purusha Sukta prayers. What is Purusha Sukta? Suktas? This is about the Purush. The beautiful Suktas about the Purush. Sorry, the beautiful uktas about the Supreme Purush. Descriptions in the Vedas about the Supreme Lord Vishnu, about his limbs. From his eyes the sun is born, from his mind the moon is born, from his feet the earth took birth. All this is described there. All the descriptions about the Lord's limbs are there. Lord's form, his roop, is eternal. In this modern world, they have given birth to this idea in the people's mind that the Lord is some energy, some Shakti. He has no form. And this Nirakar word is become so favorite and so famous. Nirakar, impersonal. God is impersonal. It has become so popular, this word, that God knows what this world will, what this word Nirakar will do up ahead in time. No form. They may say this about other things, but about the Supreme Lord, if they keep saying no form, this is very wrong. This is very wrong, because in the Vedic literature, the beauty of the Lord is described so vividly. His transcendental limbs are more beautiful than millions and millions of Cupids put together. There is nothing so as beautiful in this world which can be used to compare the limbs of the Lord. So beautiful He is. And He is eternal. And yet people call Him Nirakar. There is no relationship, there is no prem, there is no give and take, no service. Just by calling Him Nirakar, impersonal, they think they have fulfilled all their spiritual responsibility. Once they call Him Nirakar, then there is no question of doing any personal service. Just keep feeling Him in your heart. No japa, no obeisances, but stay quiet and bhajan is going on inside. In India they say ajapa jap, means to do japa without doing japa, ajapa jap. This is a very good formula they found. Just have fun, enjoy, relax, wander here and there, eat, and japa is going on. Say in every breath japa is going on. But the dog is also breathing like this.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram.
Just because you're breathing, it doesn't mean that the japa is going on. Some people say that the japa is going on in my mind. Ajapa japa is going on. So one day, eat without eating also. One day when you sit on the table to eat, and the wife will say, today you have your meal, you eat without eating. Then there will be a fight. There will be a big fight. If you want to make a phone call and you make a mistake, you get the wrong number, then you will not connect to the right person. But when it comes to bhajan, you can do anything. There is a way to do bhajan. First of all, we have to understand that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the most beautiful person. He is the kindest. He is the richest. There is no limit to His wealth. He creates this universe and He sleeps. You can eat, loot everything, do whatever you want. He is so wealthy. People are looting this earth, taking out gold, silver, oil from the earth. Arabs have taken so much oil and become so wealthy. Things we get from here, we sell and we make money and we considered wealthy. How wealthy is he who's created all this and he is not in any anxiety? Whatever you can do with it, take it. His wife is herself Lakshmi Devi. That also in the world of Vaikuntha. This world is nothing compared to Vaikuntha. This is mundane material world. Compared even in this material world, compared to the heavenly planets, this earth is considered, it's considered most insignificant. The demigod, they will not even want to spit on us. So dirty this world is. They will look for a clean place. The standard of the demigods, and the standard in Vaikuntha is unlimited times more than that of the demigods, of the heavenly planets. All I'm talking from the Shastra, I'm not just making some imagination. In this same Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, this is proof what great standards of living the demigods have in the heavenly planets. What to speak of the Vaikuntha? Sometimes we call him nirakar, impersonal. Still he is giving everything. Still he doesn't mind. Still he doesn't get upset with us. He says, oh, crazy son, whatever he can say, what to do. If somebody says that his father is impersonal, what his father will do? He is given birth, he will still maintain him. But to say like that is not the right thing to do. That he is impersonal, nirakar, like this, like that. This is very wrong. If some sadhu gives a lecture about the Supreme Lord, that he is nirakar, and then the people say, oh, he is so broad-minded, he considers everything. And these Vaishnavas, they only say, Krishna is, the Supreme Lord is Krishna, he is personal. Then they say, oh, he is a Vaishnava, of course he will pull you towards him. This is how he thinks. And this other sadhu, he is free from envy and attachment. Very broad-minded. He is good for everyone to hear. How people say, why we should pull you towards us? We didn't write this Bhagavatam. Once there was this man, he was arguing me. He said, the Lord is all-pervasive, but his roop, his form cannot be all-pervasive. How can his form be all-pervasive? I told him the form is also all-pervasive. The form is all-pervasive. Just like until there was no television, maybe people thought that form cannot be all-pervasive. But when television came, the television station is transmitted in one place, and wherever there is a television, they can catch this form on the television, and every single television everywhere can catch that same form. That form wasn't there, it could not have been on all the television. It is the same case with sound. And we will hear later that Lord Brahma, he heard from the Lord, that the Lord said to him, I will appear on the earth and I will take birth in such family, in such place, at such and such time, some thousands of years before it actually happened. We will see, we will hear this in the Katha, it will come soon. In Samadhi, in Lord Brahma's Samadhi, he heard these words. And then Lord Brahma spoke this to all the demigods. So the sound was transmitted to one place, transmitted from Lord Brahma, the Supreme Lord, to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma transmitted it to everyone. In the radio, the radio station is at one place and it's transmitting the sound, and everywhere the sound can be caught on a radio and be heard. So the sound is also all pervasive. And it's not just that the Supreme Lord's effulgence is all pervasive, also his form is, his Chaturbhuj, four-handed form, is also all pervasive. And also in his two-handed form is his all pervasive. Like in this house, if in every corner we put one television, in every corner of this house, then we will see the form that is transmitted from the station in each of these televisions. In every corner of the house, in the whole country, everywhere. So Lord's form is all pervasive, his sound is also all pervasive. Lord Brahma is meditating on that form of the form of the Lord. Text 20. So Lord Brahma, Sukadev Goswami is saying, Brahmaji gathered his disciples or his followers, and he got them together with full attention, started chanting japa loudly. Purush, he started chanting Purusha Suktas. These Purusha Suktas are very auspicious prayers. This is a very famous Suktas. When there is something auspicious going on, Purusha Suktas are chanted. In Kali Yuga, Purusha Suktas have taken the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In Kali Yuga, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be chanted.